joy and privilege to be with this many people that have an interest in university students. You know, one thing that amazes me, why more people that really want their lives to count do not think about student work. I mean, that has always been something that just absolutely amazed me when I see how many people we have in seminaries and other places and see how few people really are that interested in student work. I guess it shouldn't be amazing because I don't think that really that many people push it. I know not many churches do. I know not many seminaries have a whole lot to say about student work. But you know, I think we're some of the most privileged people on earth to have the privilege to give our lives to university students. And I just want to ask us a question. Are we really as grateful to God as we ought to be for the privilege that we have? You know, I know sometimes I'm around meetings, I mean, even in our own state, and sometimes I hear people talking about, well, the salaries are really not all that high, and, you know, we all know the negative aspects of student work. Some of you don't even have a salary, so what are you laughing about? You know, we hear about the long hours at times and a lot of night meetings. There are the interruptions. There are a lot of things like that that we hear that are negative. You know, there are difficulties. You know, it's difficult trying to get students committed to what you're trying to do when there are a lot of things maybe on the campus that are a lot bigger and maybe more attractive to them at this stage in life than what you're trying to do. You know, also in student work, maybe there's not that much recognition, maybe not that much acclaim. But you know, as I look at all those things aren't necessarily biblical anyway. You know, Jesus, he spent some long hours. He had a lot of interruptions. As far as I know, he didn't even have a salary. And so a lot of the things that are the negative aspects really are not that important anyway. They weren't to Jesus, and they shouldn't be to us. You know what? Jesus said he came to seek and save that which is lost. And long hours at times, interruptions, getting by with not a great deal at times, that's just the way it is when you seek to save that which is lost. And you know, Jesus said he didn't come to serve, to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And when we've done all of those things, you remember Jesus said in Luke 17:10, when we've done all those things which are commanded you, say we're unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. So when we've given the very best that we have, we've done everything we possibly know how to do to reach students, there's not any room for pride because Jesus said at that time we ought to say we've only done what was our duty to do. But you know, there are many, many positive sides to student work, and I want to mention a few of those. You know, there's so many young men and women, and so many of them are away from home, or at least even if they're living at home, they're at that age in life in which they can make decisions and make them stick. You know, if you're working with younger kids and you want to have a Bible study on Friday night at 10 o'clock, then this student's got to ask mother, or he's got to ask daddy. I mean, when they get on the college campus, they are free. Many of them are away from home, and even if they're not away from home, if they're living at home, they still have a lot of freedom. And they're at an age in life in which they can, if they decide to follow Jesus, they can make it stick. Like we have students, and every year we see this, students from other denominations, some of them maybe where they've never come to know Jesus Christ, and yet if they decide to follow the Lord, even though there may be some opposition and some things to work through at home, they're old enough to make decisions and make them stick. You know, another great advantage is there are not very many places God's put so many people on so few acres as he has on a college campus. And not only that, but they're just at the age. They're the right age. They're an age in which there's a homogeneity to the whole group. They're about the same age. There's not the communication problems. It's just absolutely amazing what God's done to gather these people in a pen so we have a shot at them. And God has done that. Another thing You know, we can get to many. One advantage working with college students, you can get to many of them before they have made such big mistakes, before they get into wrong marriages. And you know, every summer, someone said this summer they had 20 weddings at Iowa State. I remember one summer when we had 17. And it's a privilege just to see. And we've just seen this last weekend as a wedding. There are going to be some this summer. Kevin back here, grinning back here to running the sound system, is so excited he can hardly stand it, marrying way above his head. But we have that every year. As we see students, we see them coming to know Christ, or those many that already know the Lord, beginning to make wise decisions about who they marry. And it's such a privilege to be able to get to people before they make some big, big mistakes, before they have wrong marriages, before there's divorce, before there's kids involved. You know, I went up a couple of days ago. I was visiting with one of our former students, has a young guy in his Bible study, was an outstanding athlete here at OU a number of years ago. He's now on his second divorce, and he's getting in a Bible study now. I told my friend the other day, he said, I'm trying to get my life straightened out. But see, he's 35 years of age. He's made a lot of mistakes. He has two little girls that are going to suffer as a result of what happened. And you know, we have the privilege of getting to some young people before they make these bad mistakes. We see, and then also some of them, as a result of the help they get, then they have some maturity to raise their own kids. You know, I'd say another thing to you, and that is that I think in student work is the best place in the world to raise children. I mean, I really believe that. You know, I see Brett, John, I know when they've come down here spring break, and when Laura was in the group, and just this week their daughter's been out here. She's leaving tomorrow to spend the summer in China. You know, Bob Anderson's daughter's involved in our ministry. Jack Owens, also here, his son, is here, and he'll be leaving tomorrow to go spend the summer in China. And I've watched some of the people in student work and seen their students and seen the opportunity, the kind of people they have the privilege to be around. You know, I remember one night I happened to be riding in a car, and we were having a meeting, something like this, and I don't even remember now who all was in the car, but our son at the time was in high school. And he was sitting in the back seat, and someone asked him a question. He said, Brent, are there drugs in your high school? And he said, oh, yes. And kids drinking and all that. And he said, oh, certainly. And he said, well, why was it that you never got involved in any of that? And he said, you know, I think one of the reasons is because my best friends have always been college students. And you know, we can remember when he was very small and the students coming over to the house and he played with them. I remember when he was right at a point and one time and going through a kind of a tough time because you're not old enough to drive you and all of that. And he was about a freshman in high school or eighth grade. And one of the boys in the BSU said, could I come by and pick him up one morning a week, and I'll take him out to breakfast and we'll have a little Bible study and then I'll drop him by school. Well, I mean, Brent thought that was the greatest thing. The boy was a kind of a short boy and about his size at the time. And Brent just thought that was one of the greatest things that ever happened. Now, I really don't know what happened in that Bible study. But you know, just the fact that he would come pick him up and take him to breakfast, drop him off at high school, and that only lasted a few weeks, but it was a tremendous thing for him. Let me tell you, you may have some disadvantages, but there's no better place in the world to raise children than in student work. And I think people that are there, have been there, have seen that because of the quality of students that you're around. So that's a tremendous opportunity. Another thing you have is you have a tremendous opportunity to trust God. I mean, it's always, you need money for salary, you need money for staff, you need money for mission trips, you need money for this or that. I mean, God's just put us in a great place to trust Him. Not many people really have as great an opportunity to do that as we do. You know, we also know that students are more available. You hear this all the time. People say you're going to have more time now while you're in school than you do after you get out. Now, they don't believe it, but it's a fact. And they're more available. You know, it's pretty difficult if you want to visit with a layman and you want to do it at 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon. I mean, it's pretty hard to get his time unless he happens to own his business and be in pretty good shape. but it's not difficult with students. And so they are available. You know, another thing I think is variety. There are times that it's very, very difficult. There's some long hours. There's some hard work. But there are also those times in which you can draw back. You know, someone said Billy Graham on one occasion indicated that he tried to pattern his life after the ministry of Jesus. You notice with Jesus, he's off preaching, he's busy. And then he says to his disciples, come ye yourselves into a desert place and let's rest a while. And so there are those times of withdrawal. And that's a great privilege. You don't have to answer to the deacons where you are if you happen to get away for a time. Most of you get more time off for Christmas and times like that than you certainly would if you had a regular job. And so there are some tremendous advantages in that regard. Another thing is we have the privilege of associating with some of God's choice servants. I mean, you've been to conferences. You have the privilege of taking students on mission trips. You have an opportunity to be around people that are some of God's greatest servants. Also, I don't know of a greater opportunity you have to multiply your life than in meeting with students, because you can spend some time with them. You know, 2 years ago, my wife and I started working with, and we had not done this in several years, but we took the freshman ministry team, and we had the privilege of working with them. You know, when we started with that group of students, I remember many times we talked about it. I mean, we didn't know what we were going to have at the end of the year. I mean, if you'd asked me in February, what do you have as a result of this year? And I can honestly say this. Those students, most of them were visited every single week without exception. People lived in the dorms. They ate with them. They worked on them. And, you know, we really wondered what we were going to have as a result of that group. Well, we take a spring break trip each year. And incidentally, another great privilege you have is you can get into the lives of students because you can find the breaks in their schedule. Like we have our students come back a week early. We take a week of their spring break. And then we keep them, a lot of them, for a week after school's out for a training program. Well, you're going to have a hard time getting that kind of concentrated time in the life of a layman. And so students are available. Well, anyway, we didn't know what we were going to have. But we took a group of them with us, about 30 or so stayed for that summer training program. The next year, we worked with them on a discipleship team. And now this year, coming on to our ministry team, we're very encouraged with a group of those students. But, you know, when you start out, you don't know what you're going to have. And it takes some work. And you never know. But I cannot think of anyone that has a greater opportunity to multiply their life than we do. Because sometimes these students, and I know students that we met 2 years ago, and I know them today, and I know their lives have been changed, some of them forever, in just a very brief period of time. You know, another great opportunity that we have, you know, I think in student work, you're forced to grow and change, or you're going to be without a job or without a ministry. You may keep your job, but because students are changing, we have to grow and we have to change. I don't think anybody else has the opportunity to get people out on the mission fields of the world in any greater way than we do in student work. I know this week, in fact, there are about 35 that are here tonight that will be leaving tomorrow for China. There have been about 70 students out here this past week as they're in training and from different campuses to go all over the world. We have a great opportunity to raise up laborers and people for the ends of the earth. So I just hope while you're here this week and as you think about your own life, I know some of the places you are is hard, it's difficult, but God is using you to raise up people. And I wouldn't want to trade places with anybody. I really wouldn't, because I don't know of anybody on earth that has greater privileges than we have. Okay, let's pray together. Father, as we meet here the next few days, I pray that you would guide each one of us, guide us in our fellowship, our time with each other, what we hear, what we do. And I just would ask that you would make this a very, very good time for all of us. Father, forgive us at times when we've looked at other situations, when we've compared, or when we've wished it was better in some ways. Lord, you have put us where we are, There's nothing in the world we'd rather do than just to help young men and women come to know you and learn to walk with you and be able to get out in the world to raise their families successfully, to give their lives to making multiplying disciples. Father, would you teach us this week how we can better do that and help us to be more grateful to you for the tremendous privileges that we have, because we've prayed in your name. Amen. Bob is Baptist Student Director, Kansas State University. Been there 20, how many years, Bob? 3? 24. Time gets by. And so he's going to come and take a few minutes to share with us. And after Bob comes to share, we're going to have some time to pray together. And I'll explain that to you after Bob shares.
Well, I got 10 minutes, and I don't know if I'll take it or not, but I appreciate the opportunity. I've got my bag packed, and tomorrow at this time we'll be 20 minutes out of Oklahoma City. I'm headed to Dalian, China, take about probably 35 hours of total time to get there, and I'm ready to go. You know, it's kind of like waiting on a baby to come. You know, you keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and I'm ready to go. So but I appreciate the time being with you. This past year has been a really amazing year for us. I think I've had higher highs and lower lows in some ways. Several years ago, I'd been up to the University of Nebraska and was a part of a worship time that they had. Kevin Shin had just moved on the field and was putting together some real quality worship. And I remember coming back from that and really praying that somehow, some way, that God would allow our campus ministry to enter into the kind of worship that they were experiencing. And it took 2 or 3 years, but God has really done that in our ministry, where the real heartbeat on Thursday night is to move toward God in real worship. And I'm so grateful for that, and it's just a joy. On Thursday morning, I wake up early and I think, yeah, you know, I get to go be with our gang and worship. And I hope that you're a part of a ministry that really moves together in worshiping God, because, you know, that's kind of what we're going to be doing for all eternity. And if you're uncomfortable with that, you know, it's going to be a long eternity for you. But along with the great good points, I've had some real heartbreakers too with some of the students. We have so many students now that are coming out of broken homes, and many of these young people have shut down emotionally. I've had to do more tough counseling, I think, this past year that has really just broke my heart in a lot of ways. So, you know, not all is great on the campus, but God is at work. I am going to get to go to China. In 1969, I read a book called Bill Wallace of China. Maybe some of you have read that, about a medical missionary that went there and gave up so much to be there, and was martyred, actually, when he was there. And I remember at the time praying that maybe God would allow me to have a ministry overseas. And I began to read about the life of Hudson Taylor, and I think I have 15 different volumes on the life of Hudson Taylor on my shelf, and I've read most of them several times. And through that, I've really fed that part of my life to love China, and that God would allow me the privilege to go over there just kind of blows me away. I'm kind of numb right now, but I'm taking with me 9 of our students. And I was thinking a while ago, right after Max asked me, there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians. Paul said, you know how we lived among you for your sake. And these 9 people are going to have a chance to live among me and know my life. And, you know, it's one thing to kind of lead a group from a distance and show up on Thursday night meetings and maybe even occasionally lead a Bible study with group and sip a Coke in the union. It's another thing to live directly with them for 7 or 8 weeks, and that's what's going to happen. And in fact, I shared with them yesterday, I said, you know, I don't like to talk all the time, and sometimes I like to just kind of curl up on a couch and rest. And I was kind of preparing them that I don't pray all the time, I don't read my Bible all the time or memorize verses, and just I wanted to make that disclaimer. And but I'm really looking forward to it. We have a great group. In fact, one of the fellows that's going with us led another of the guys that's going with us to the Lord, and this guy is meeting with my son. Max mentioned how the students met with his son, and so it's a real treat to be with them. I can't think of anything I'd rather do. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that says, "For what is our hope or joy or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you?" And, you know, I see these young people that I'm going to be with as a real glory and crown. And I take it so seriously in what God is going to do. We have no idea what we're going to face. I just got an email that came in today that said, be sure and brief your gang, because probably university officials are going to meet you at the airport in Dalian, where we're going, and they need to be sure they know how to answer those initial questions that will be raised to them on why they come and what they'll be doing. So I've still got a little work to do on briefing, but I hope you'll really pray for us. I feel totally overwhelmed by this. We spent a week in orientation just this past week, and our group had a little bit different chemistry in that we have known each other for a couple years, and whereas some of the other groups going to China and other places were put together and didn't know each other, we knew each other, and so that was, there's an upside and a downside of that. One of the tough parts of it is that we had some real jealousy and competition and competitiveness that came out, and this came out fairly early when one of our gals shared her testimony in front of the group, and one of the others got real kind of jealous about that, and she confessed that in front of our gang, and then we began to go around the circle and found that everyone struggles with that, so including me, and so probably me especially. We're going to be enrolled in learning Chinese, and I did a foreign language in eighth grade. I got a D because I think I cheated throughout the class, and but we got it down on our knees in a circle and really asked the Lord to come against the stronghold that the devil had built up in all of our lives of comparison and jealousy. And that's kind of how the week has gone. We've learned some things about culture shock and relating to Chinese, but what God has really done in our heart is make us very humble before Him. And so I really appreciate your prayers as we go, and it's great to be with you. I'm sorry I won't be here all week, but I look around the room and see a lot of dear people that I love, and so thanks for the opportunity to share.